This is a Little Empire podcast. Visit us at littleempirepodcast.com and on Instagram at Little Empire Podcasts.
Thank you so much to bigpipe.co.nz for sponsoring this episode of The Male Gaze.
I'll have you know that Big Pipe have an app that allows you to prioritize your internet traffic.
I'll have you know. Who says, I'll have you know. You're saying you're
don't
smoking a pipe while you sound
I'll
that.
I'll have you know that they do.
The Big Pipe app is amazing, though. They're the only company in New Zealand, the only ISP that do that, that you prioritize. So you can put Netflix up top and put text from your mum down low.
They're pretty much the Em and Hillary of the internet service providing world.
Yeah, they're at the top of the internet service providing mountain.
They put the flag in the internet mountain.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome to the Male Gaze podcast. You're here with Mr. Eli Matthews, and that's me.
And Mr. Chris Parker, that is me.
And we are here with a new episode of our podcast. Oh, thank you for listening. It's a credit to yourself and us that we are sharing this experience together in separate time zones.
And in separate worlds.
Yeah, because we are recording this on a rainy morning, and you may be listening to it in a
Speedo on a beach in Brazil.
This episode today is going to be a very good one. We'll get on to the theme shortly. I'm building up the quality of this episode quite strongly.
Maybe we should say what the theme is, because I found my, because we always start the podcast with a topical news story or fact that is LGBTQI friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we want to school ourselves up. But I found my fact through the theme this week.
Ooh.
And I don't want to give a spoiler to what the theme is.
Okay, great. Well,
I only say that because I felt like you were going to give a really big, like, reveal of the theme just then.
It was going to be super exciting. I hadn't planned it, but it was going to be good.
Okay. So the theme for this week's podcast is favorite childhood characters that you watched in cartoons or movies or television that were probably gay.
Yeah, but you didn't know.
Or maybe you did know.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were openly gay.
And look, maybe they're not gay. We're just going to put forward some and then discuss whether or not they are gay.
And some are ones that I found on the internet that the internet claims as being gay.
Mm.
And that's up for discussion.
Yeah.
And of course, as always, we have the answer.
We have the final say.
We have the final say.
The final word on all these characters. Shall I give my fact first then, seeing as it's not really... Oh, mine's a little bit tied to the theme.
Yeah.
Did you know the very first piece of graffiti, the world's oldest graffiti artwork, was a gay picture, right? Found in ancient Greece in the island of Astypalia. Between the 5th and 6th centuries BC, that's what this piece of art dates back to, and it is a picture of two penises with the name Dion underneath it.
What?
And that's all it is. No faces, nothing attached to it, just two dicks and the name Dion, and that is the oldest piece of graffiti in the world.
Dion loves
Dion.
Who's Dion?
I don't know.
Dion.
Hey, Dion.
Dion loves the dude.
Hey, Dion, I like that picture you drew of our dicks together, Dion.
Dion could be a woman.
That's true. Who
loves, like, lots of dick. Dion. Oh, there's a character out there who's female called Dion.
Oh, yeah, and Clueless, because she's named after Celine.
Yes, Dion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that Dion likes dick. funny we mentioned her.
Yeah.
Played by...
Alicia Silverstone. Oh, no. It's just Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Who is just
the worst.
A nightmare.
Please don't listen to anything Stacey Dash says.
Well, or do, but take it with 4 grains of salt.
Yeah. Precisely 4.
4.
Count them out and eat them as you listen to Stacey Dash talk.
Okay, onto my fact now, Eli.
All right, lay it on me.
Okay, I found this while I was trying to search, like, on my Google browser. I was like, gay, Nickelodeon, 90s, just anything that would give me some sort of inspiration. But would you know, this? I read this in The Independent, so I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
A new cartoon series airing on Nickelodeon is to become the channel's first show to feature a same-sex married couple.
Oh, yeah, saw this.
Yeah, The Loud House, it's called, which began in May. And there is a interracial same-sex couple, two men, and they drop their son off to, like, a sleepover. And, like, it's kind of amazing because I watched the clip of, like, their kind of introduction to the show. And they're just, like, overprotective parents. But it doesn't really, like, because they're gay, that's not the butt of the joke. And they're just, it's just, like, very kind of well played on Nickelodeon's behalf and very funny. And I love that they're interracial as well. I think that's a really strong move on Nickelodeon's behalf.
Hey, can I tell you another fact off that?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I remember my friend telling me this in, like, 2005 at school. So this may be not true, but she used to read New Scientist magazine every week. Apparently, you know how in a normal heterosexual couple, people often end up dating people who look like them. So there's a lot of couples that look like brother and sister, right?
Okay.
And that is because you are looking for someone who is super, who is a certain amount similar to you, apparently. But that doesn't exist so much in homosexual couples because you've already got your gender in common. Apparently, homosexual couples often have quite disparate appearances and there are way more interracial gay couples than there are straight couples.
Boom.
I don't have exact facts on that. And also, this was a long time ago, and who knows?
This was in year 12. That's interesting. There's nothing kind of creepier when you see a same-sex couple and they look too much alike.
That's the thing. You can, like, if you look like brother and sister, that's like, oh, kind of cute, kind of weird. But if you look like brother and brother.
Or just like mirror images of each other.
Yeah.
Why do you like each other? I guess he's just the mirror image of me.
I guess it's just like sucking my own dick.
Which I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I follow like quite a few people, like sort of like beautiful gay couples on Instagram. And there's one couple that I don't even know why I follow them. Every time I see them, I roll my eyes and moan because they not like, oh, but like, oh, like that kind of moan.
Yeah.
Because they just look so similar. I was like, how narcissistic.
What's the name of the couple?
I wouldn't know, but you'd probably know them. They're like very kind of San Fran. Like they're always posing in front of like a pink wall.
I get,
and like white shorts.
Is this at Yama time?
Yeah, they look too similar.
They're always coordinating their outfit to the wall they're standing in front of, which I think is insane.
It's a good sign you're like a serial killer duo when you're like trying to blend into your surroundings
like,
that
let's
much.
Let's put on these clothes because that'll match that wall. We'll drive to that wall. We'll take a photo.
And what kind of idiot is driving around looking for like walls to photo to get photos in front of?
I don't know, but they always look happy.
Yeah, I hope they're happy. They make me sick.
I unfollow them at any point.
No,
the choice is always open to you.
You have no idea how loyal I am to the people I follow. I've been following Deborah Messing on Snapchat for way too long now. And I just... Okay, so she's like a big supporter of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And she's just... She's been campaigning for them for a very long time. But she just... There's something about her tone which just like really irks me a little bit. God, I hope she's not listening. I love Deborah Messing. I'm a huge fan of Will and Grace. And also a huge fan of Smash, which she also was
in. Smash is the worst show of all time.
She was a shining light in Smash, and I will not hear another word about it.
I've seen way too much of it.
I've watched
my
the whole...
boyfriend's into it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
It's the worst thing to love-hate.
Yeah. I follow Helen Clark on Snapchat, and I need to stop following
her. No, she's great.
Do you think so?
Helen Clark, for idiots who live overseas and don't know who she is, she's going to fix the world. But she used to be the Prime Minister here.
And she's potentially in charge of the UN.
Yeah, she's a femme boss.
Yeah.
She's amazing on Snapchat.
No, it's always a shot from her car of the city that she's in.
Any old like person, oh my God, any person over 50 who uses like stickers on Snapchat, I'm like... You're a savant. Like, you're a genius. I don't know how you knew how to work that out, but you're obviously a genius.
I legitimately worked out how to use stickers on Snapchat last week.
You know the videos when they kind of appear out of nowhere?
Yeah.
That is the buzziest stuff. Like, that. What is that? It's such a surreal-looking thing. Like, these weird stickers that just sort of appear, and they're kind of still in that area of the video.
I don't know.
It feels like kind of 90s animation.
Mm.
Speaking of 90s animation.
Good link.
Thank you. Let's get into this.
Do you want to do the first character?
Okay, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's just have a wee crack into the parents of Rugrats.
Oh, love this topic.
Yeah, it's huge. Okay. So there's a lot of talking points of which parents are gay and which parents aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the ultimate sort of gay icon in the whole cartoon of Rugrats is Angelica's mum, Charlotte Pickles.
Oh, absolutely. She's, what a hero.
She's a hero.
She's a boss.
She's a single mum?
No. She's got a husband because her husband
is... Well, he's never on the scene.
No, her husband is Tommy's dad's father, Stu Pickles. Drew Pickles is Angelica's dad.
Oh my God. But she's a... No, I think she's a power lesbian. She just dominates too much.
She's got a Portia de Rossi vibe.
God. Portia de Rossi would 100% play her in the real life version of that show.
And she would be mint.
There's another kind of conspiracy theory I read around Phil and Lil's parents.
Phil and Lil's mum is a very sporty sweatshirt.
She's very sporty. And people kind of call her sort of like a... Like a very sort of butch lesbian kind of character. But it's really kind of effed up, actually, because the big thing with like that, because they have a dad. I don't know what his, can't remember what his name is. He's kind of like a very sort of skinny kind of.
Skinny's got curly kind of blonde, purple hair.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, so he's like the, and he's gay is the theory that they're saying online because he's kind of feminine. And Phil and Lil's mum's quite masculine. I was like, that's kind of effed up because you're just kind of flipping the gender sort of norms of that. But she could be straight.
Absolutely, and he could be straight, and they could just... And I'm sure she dominates him in the bedroom. I tell you what.
Oh, I think so.
She throws him around the room.
But I reckon Phil and Lil, when they grow up, I mean, we have watched All Grown Up, the spin-off Rugrats animation where they are like in their early teens or they're just children.
They're like between 11 and 13.
Okay, so they're not really playing with sexuality too much, but I reckon Phil would like suck a couple of guys off at like uni, you know, just to play it around. Like, I think he's sort of open and his parents just set up such open understandings of sort of gender and gender roles.
Absolutely.
So I think that'd be like quite progressive, Phil and Lil.
I always wondered if Chucky was gay, mainly because I identified most strongly with Chucky, but then again, potentially that's just because...
He's a ball of anxiety.
He's a ball of anxiety, and I was like, oh, that's how I feel that's at how school.
Here's one thing. Chucky and Angelica have a really intense relationship, and it's never kind of explained, but they're like, those two see into each other's souls for some reason, and potentially they're both gay, but they haven't realized it yet, and that's why they understand each other more than any of the other characters.
Or they're going to end up together in a Hermione-Ron situation.
Okay.
I'm not saying that just because he's got red hair, but he is a mess and she is quite tough and direct.
But she's also like a bossy bitch as well. But I kind of like that.
Should we pay any attention to the stupid theory that they're all dead and they're in Angelica's mind, or should we just brush over that?
Oh, we should 100% brush over that. That's cool. A load of crap.
If you believe that...
Get off this podcast.
They're babies.
They're babies. You're disgusting. You're horrible. They're like, they all died in a river accident and they're all... Like, who in their goddamn mind wants to presume all these beautiful children are dead?
I don't know. Did you know, though, in the mid-90s, Rugrats was the top rating show for males aged like 18 to 30?
Stoners.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the top rating show, but definitely the biggest audience for Rugrats was men in their kind of 20s.
It really blows open some kind of intense adults... thoughts for me. Like when rewatching, I'm like, oh my God, that explains so much about my own anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
Like, and Tommy's just like, I guess he was the strong male lead, but I think when rewatching it, he's kind of weak.
Yeah.
He's not as interesting as the other ones.
Not at all. Not at all.
Hey, if you've got your own Rugrats fan theories out there, please tweet them to us. We'd love to hear them.
At Eli Matheson or at C. Rob Kerr, or also you can email them to littleempirepodcasts@gmail.com.
All right, Eli, dive in.
Oh, one quick thing.
Yeah.
I also think it's quite one of the things that I identify with about Rugrats is how Angelica can talk to the parents and also talk to the babies, but she doesn't really fit in with either. And that is sad.
It's a metaphor for life.
It's a metaphor for life. Okay.
I was so like that as a child, though.
Same.
I would 100% talk to grown adults all the time as if I was on like an equal playing field to them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, how's work going? I was like, 4. I was like, yeah, that sounds stressful.
And I was the same with kids like younger than me as well. I really wanted to teach them the way.
The way, know? Yeah. It's like, okay, when you get to 10 years old, you're going to want to go to sleep. It's like your parents going to, like when you're younger, you wanted to stay up. But when you're 10, you get real tired.
Yeah.
I remember saying that to my friend.
What you're going to want to know how to do is to push down the Duracell on your book so you don't have any bubbles. And I'll show you how to do that now to save you 5 years of torture.
This is your like child vlog.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm going to put forward my character. So topical, Pokemon. It's back in the public consciousness,
yeah.
Thanks to the app, which I have played and you have not.
I've dabbled, and by dabbled, I caught one Charizard, and I was like, I'm done.
You caught a you did not catch a Charizard. That's like,
I mean, a Charmander.
Okay, cool, good.
I don't care.
Did you, though? Did you watch the show?
Yeah, I did watch the show.
Yeah, great. And it was a good, it was a great show, right?
Lovely show.
Lovely.
Love just you could lovely. Sit back, relax with a couple like a glass of wine and just watch some Pokemon. Lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I want to talk about Ash Ketchum, who is 12 in the show. And he leaves home.
Kinda hot though? Like when I was younger, I thought he was
hot. Great look. Yeah. He looks a little bit like Astro Boy as well, who's definitely hot, who was like just wearing shorts all the time. And I was like, damn. Ash leaves home 12 to become a Pokemon master, makes friends with Misty and Brock, and then travels with them around. Brock is an absolute horn dog. Completely
he's such a horn dog, eh?
Always.
How old is he?
Well, that's the thing. I would assume Misty is like 14, and Brock is like
27.
Nine, yeah, 20. Yeah, yeah, he's like way too old to be hanging out with
those
two.
He dropped out of uni, and he's just like dabbling in Pokemon for a while.
Yeah.
And he's doing like hard drugs on the side.
Totally, because yeah. He's into rock Pokemon as well, which is like, what a boring choice. He doesn't care about Pokemon. He cares about getting with Nurse Joy or Officer Jenny.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He's such a horn dog.
But also, like, Ash, right, he's age 12, bridging up to 13, I believe, as he bowls through these gyms. He never, in my memory, he never thinks about women the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this makes him gay necessarily, or it's just the fact that he's already at age 12 burying himself in his career of becoming a Pokemon master.
Okay, I'm listening to this, Eli, and what is bubbling up for me is that I feel like Ash is a bit of a blank canvas.
Oh.
That you projected all of your gayness onto. Because he's quite a boring guy. Like, Brock really and Misty kind of add the sort of pep to the show. And I think maybe you saw a lot of yourself in Ash. That is my theory on this.
That's true. Well, yeah, I guess Ash's defining characteristic is that he wants to catch them all. And if so does
don't
everyone.
We all?
We all want to
we're
catch
all
them
on Grindr trying to catch them all. All right, I'm going to go into my next one.
Okay, cool.
Oh my God. So, I rewatched The Secret Garden the other day. The movie flick. The Secret Garden.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you really know the plot of it, but like there's a little girl, her family are all died in an earthquake in India, and she gets sent to like her uncle's rich mansion in like England somewhere sad, and it's run by Maggie Smith
yeah, definitely,
who's always old but amazing. Rewatching
it, so she's old in this movie, eh?
She's old
and this movie,
movie
is from like 1990.
Yeah, she's
how is she still
she
going
was, she was born 70.
Yeah.
Out of an egg. And yeah, so Maggie runs the big mansion and is a total bitch. I don't know how she gets away with being so mean to children in this film, but she is evil as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But Maggie has like a assistant maid called, oh my God, I've forgotten her name, Mary. And Mary is like her job. No, Mary's the main girl.
I don't know any of these characters' names.
Oh,
and
no,
I'm leaving it up to you to.
Mary is the main girl. Martha is Maggie's maid. And Martha's job is to look after Mary. And there is some real sexual chemistry going on between them, between those two.
Whoa.
I've got a clip, Eli. I want to play it for you.
Okay.
Okay, so this is bolshy little Mary, whose parents died in India, and Martha the maid. And you just tell me if you think there's some sexual chemistry going on here.
All right.
I'm Mrs. Medlock's servant. and she's Lord Craven's. But I'll be doing the housemaid's work up here. I'm waiting on you a bit.
That accent
waiting
is
on
flawless.
Me makes you my servant, then.
Whoa.
You are strange.
Hey, I know that.
She's picking it up.
Mrs. Medlock gave me the place out of kindness to my mother. She said she could never have done it if there was a Grand Mrs. at Misselthwaite.
Martha is undressing Mary right now.
Who I'd lifted likely her arm so that she would do
the
it?
Kitchens, and certainly not here upstairs.
Stop it!
She just tickled her.
What are you doing?
I thought all girls liked to be tickled.
Oh, my gosh. So Martha is like that girl at university that like converts the other girls.
She's... this is, and then there's another scene later on in the movie where Martha gives Mary a skipping rope and asks for a kiss from Mary, and Mary's like, this is quite weird.
Whoa. Martha's doing a lot of like lip biting in that scene as well.
Yeah.
Worldwide sign of I'm DDF.
Yeah, she's DDF.
Yeah.
And she's just like, she's just hanging around Maggie Smith all day.
Yeah.
Who's maybe a bit of a gay icon.
Absolutely. 100%.
I wonder if she does like gigs at like pride events and stuff.
I would love Maggie Smith on a float, Auckland Pride Parade going
Let's
down Ponsonby
sort
Road.
This out.
Yes.
And here comes the Maggie Smith float.
Hello, gays. That was my terrible Maggie Smith.
It was
impression.
A terrible Maggie yeah. Smith. Didn't sound anything like her. Okay, Eli, what have you got?
Well, should we bridge from Maggie Smith? We'll journey with her to the present day, and by the present day I mean 2004 to 2010.
Those are my best years.
Yeah, for all of us. The Harry Potter universe.
Okay.
At this point, we should point out that Chris Parker, who you may have listeners, you may have trusted him up until this point.
I'm literally rolling my eyes right now.
Has never read nor watched a Harry Potter. That's correct, right?
Yes, it's 100% correct. Now listen, I've read the first book, okay? And I started reading the second book and I was like, this is bullshit. And I put the book down and I was like 11 years old and that was just my decision. And I was like, you know, I'm not buying into this. But do you know what I did pick up? The Diary of Anne Frank. And I read that cover to cover.
Stop bragging. That is the most braggy.
Yeah. I'm just saying... Fantasy didn't do it for me. I wanted true stories, just something with a bit of bite.
Okay, well, before we get on to the Diary of Anne Frank.
Gay icon.
Gay icon Anne Frank. Let's talk about Harry Potter. So as you may or may not know this, Chris, but J.K. Rowling pointed out...
Is gay. No.
No.
I'm just going to guess. I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
So Dumbledore...
Is gay.
Yes.
Is he?
Yes. Dumbledore is like the...
old fox.
The principal. He's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he's like 400 years old or something?
He's not 400 years old. Wizards don't live for 400 years. They're just people with a little bit of magic added.
I thought he was like 400 years old. That was his whole gimmick.
No.
He had a big beard.
The beard is the gimmick.
I've watched a bit of like the fifth movie. Is that the same actor or is that the new actor?
No. Dumbledore switches between film two and film three as the original Dumbledore, who I cannot remember the name of.
So serious
but
right now.
May he rest in peace.
You're literally crying. This means so much to you.
And then Michael Gambon took over from the third one onwards, and he's terrific.
Okay, so... So
Dumbledore is gay. Which J.K. Rowling, it's never discussed in the book, never mentioned. And to be honest, so someone tweeted at J.K. about whether Dumbledore had ever had a girlfriend. And then she tweeted back, like...
Never.
Nah, he's gay, bro.
Really?
Like, pretty much. The words to that effect.
Oh my god, they need to make the movie where Dumbledore is back at university.
Yeah.
Hogwarts? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, in my mind, set in the 80s, because that's like a flashback movie, but I guess it would be set in like 1601, because it's Harry Potter.
No, he's not 400 years old.
And it's all about like his romance with like another hot gay wizard.
I would love that. I'm thinking...
Are there any gay wizards in the wizard universe?
Dumbledore, we're talking about him
right
now.
No, but he's so old, but like a young one.
Well, I guess that's what maybe I want to discuss. I have a theory, so let me explain to you some things.
Well, hold on. There was no like openly gay wizards.
No one.
This is crazy, and this is why I didn't read the book.
Well, you weren't openly gay when the books came out. So you're a hypocrite.
Well, hey, if there was an openly gay character in Harry Potter, maybe I would have kept reading, is all I'm saying.
That's fair. I reckon Cedric Diggory. So, okay, here's the deal. Gryffindor is the house that you're in if you're brave. Hufflepuff is the house that you're in if you're loyal, right? But how it mostly works out is that Gryffindor is all the, like, quite
jocks.
Cool jocks.
Yeah.
And Hufflepuff is, like, friendly dweebs. Except for Cedric Diggory, who is definitely a textbook Gryffindor. Gryffindor. he's brave.
Yeah.
He's ambitious. And him and Harry Potter kind of become rivals. Part of the things that they're rivals over is the love of the same girl, Cho Chang. Total babe and great. I love her in the movies. Anyway, Cedric dies. But...
Whoa. You should have said spoiler alert.
It's been too long. Way too long.
Well, now I can't read it because you've ruined the whole movie.
That's a minor death. But if you want me to list the other deaths, I can.
No.
Cedric dies. I reckon, the thing is, I'm like, why is he not in Gryffindor? How did he end up in Hufflepuff? There must be something that he's struggling with. And I reckon it's
sexuality.
It's his sexuality.
So do you reckon Hufflepuff is just filled with closet gays?
Yeah, well, I just think that Hufflepuff seems to have fun. I reckon of all the houses, Hufflepuff had the most sex with each other.
Really?
I reckon. Because Gryffindor are too kind of like... So Ravenclaw's like the book smart people. They're definitely not having too much sex. Gryffindor's like brave and noble people who I think as well, like, are too busy, you know.
Yeah. Slytherin are just like evil assholes, eh?
Yeah.
It's so weird that at high school you would get put into a group that's just like, you are bad guys. You're bad people. And just like someone just tells you that at like 13.
I know.
That's a horrible system.
And they're all like pale and blonde.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I can relate. I mean, I would look like I'd be in Slytherin, but I certainly think I would be in
Hufflepuff. Yeah, I'm definitely a Hufflepuff.
And I think at the assembly, I'd be like, oh my God, if I don't get into Gryffindor, this is going to be the end of high school for me.
Same.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. High school is nothing and it means nothing. So all those people who are in high school right now struggling with bullies from stupid Gryffindor, you just got to get through these 5 years and then it doesn't matter because most of those guys will end up being like, getting their girlfriends pregnant at 18 and then just like trying to finish off their engineering apprenticeship.
You know who's not going to get your girlfriend pregnant? You little gaybo. Good luck out there.
Good luck out there. I want to dive into another one. This is a big talking point. This was Tinky Winky from the Teletubbies.
Oh, yeah.
This was like quite huge when I was younger and I was quite aware of the conversation, but a lot of the media were outing this just very innocent Teletubby for being gay. And it was a real problem back in like 1996, my sister was born. She was a big fan of the show. She was probably watching it around 1999, 2000.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, I can't believe they would have put this gay Teletubby. Also, it's like he is a Teletubby. So he doesn't even resemble a human at all.
He doesn't have bits.
It doesn't matter. Also, it doesn't matter if he's gay. Also, he just held a handbag. That was the problem. And I quite liked the handbag.
Yeah. I think he was definitely gay. Like, I, in my humble opinion, think that the creators of Teletubbies were like, this one's gay.
That's fantastic.
And they were like, let's make him purple. Let's give him a handbag. Let's put a rainbow in the background when he's in the shot. And they're like, he's gay. That's it.
It probably was because the show was it English or was it like really buzzy, like Eastern European kind of like...
Well, they didn't speak English.
But it's just such a weird show. I feel like in the meeting room, it was like, okay, so this one is like obviously gay. And like it just wasn't an issue.
This one's obviously gay. And
we love
this
him.
This one plays the triangle. And this one has a scooter.
That show is... this one has a scooter. That show was buzzy, eh? I feel
it's
like...
crazy.
Do you remember the green one? He had like a really ugly cow hat.
Okay, the green one is the one that I dressed up as when me and my friends...
He's my least favourite.
Oh. Me and my friends did a So there was like a lookalike competition at my high school. God. You had to dress up as a celebrity and walk down the
And you chose a Teletubby.
No, me and three of my friends did it. And I was Dipsy. And I kept the hat for ages. I wish I still
had
it.
Why weren't you Tinky Winky?
Because Dipsy, if you remember, they all had a different shape on the top of their head.
I do.
Dipsy's like, so Tinky Winky's gay and it's the triangle. Which a triangle also is a gay symbol.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't make them. Dipsy's one, though, is quite a phallic, just big stick.
Which is like, he's horny.
Yeah.
And the hat is like, kind of gross. It's kind of like a fedora.
Absolutely.
So he's just like a gross, horny guy wearing a fedora.
Yeah, you can imagine him being like, oh, well, there's a photo booth at this wedding. Which hat should I put on? I'll put on this cow one.
Ooh, yeah, put on these sexy glasses.
I think it's an interesting discussion because I reckon, so there's this idea of a thing called a coded gay character. That is when the creators of children's television put a character in who has characteristics of homosexuality but is never acknowledged as openly gay. For instance...
But is like consciously made that way?
Consciously made that way. For instance, Ryan in High School Musical, Ashley Tisdale's brother.
Yes.
Is very obviously gay, but then they never...
Oh my God, he's so gay.
Yeah, which I think is maybe like a strat, like they want to provide role models to gay children without pissing off their homophobic parents.
Totally. But the worst thing is that they just don't mention it. I'm just like, if you just bring it up, that's the best thing that you could do versus just kind of like the hush-hushness of it all is like almost worse than... Oh, no, though it's good to have those sort of characters on television. But they're always just treated so weirdly. I was looking back at Ariel Monsters.
Love this
show. How good is that cartoon?
So good.
Do you remember the headmaster in Ariel? Yes. The Grumble?
The Grumble.
He had like lipstick and like leather gloves and high heels on.
I think if this show were made in the present day, we would use they, their pronouns to describe...
You are 100% it, the Grumble.
Yeah.
It's like so gender neutral. It's fantastic.
Mm.
And it's just like, but it's not really brought up in the show. But I feel like that must have been a coded character for those creators.
Totally.
And it's not really like the laughing point of that show either. It's just kind of how it is.
I don't think you should ever use the word it, Chris. Here is an educational thing that I learned. When I briefly taught gender in school, the connotations are that it's an object that you're talking about.
Oh, true.
So you say they, their, them. Them, yeah.
Well, they, I wonder if that translates to monsters.
I mean, I don't know what monsters would like. There's also a pronoun called they or their, like Z-E-Y and Z-E-I-R. Which I think, I don't know if there are people pushing that to get off the ground or not, but I don't know if it's definitely not frequently used.
Zay.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
Zay was saying to me, I mean, I'd love it if that kind of sounds like you're describing an alien.
Yeah, it does. And the villain in the Powerpuff Girls, the kind of...
Him.
Was that it? Yeah, he was called
him.
Him. But also quite sort of gender neutral, wore high heels, lipstick, quite effeminate.
Was my favourite villain.
A great villain.
Yeah. Great voice. He's like, hi, Powerpuff. I've done so many terrible impressions.
Voice
Powerpuff Girls.
So those are two kind of very interesting coded characters, which definitely... I was really aware of growing up watching those cartoons.
Yeah.
But you don't kind of know why you're so drawn to them?
I definitely thought both of those characters were cool. I was like, they are cool. Especially, was it the Grunch?
Who's the Grunch?
Is Grumble? The Grumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved.
Great.
Although the character that I most identified with in Ariel Monsters was Ickes. And I think, again, that's because he has an anxiety disorder.
Yes. There's so many cartoons where the main protagonist is just a ball of stress and anxiety.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh, don't get me started into
all that. The characters in that, except for the heifer.
Do you remember The Weekenders?
No.
It was such a cult cartoon.
Is this the one with the skateboarders?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, they went to like a pizza shop and it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday was the cartoon those days. And they were all just slightly depressed. Like all of them were definitely going to be like, have pizza one day, and then just someone would bring up like, hey, are we all really depressed? And then all the other characters would be like, yes, I'm miserable. And then it would all just open up. But they were just, none of them were like, could understand why they weren't satisfied with their lives. Ugh. And it's a simple answer that they just needed, like, there's like a chemical imbalance in their brain and they just like aren't happy. But it's a very weird show for kids.
What about Doug, man?
Oh man, Doug
was
sad. He's on the brink of an existential crisis.
Hey Arnold. All these characters are suffering from different levels of depression.
Which is why we love them so much as kids.
Yeah. I don't know what's out there at the moment.
It's funny that kids are just like relating to that so much. Like, this is me.
Yeah, I'm connecting with this it's connecting with a huge wallowing bucket of sadness that I exist in the middle of. I want to talk about a character. Do you ever watch Thomas the Tank Engine as a child?
Yes, I did.
I was into it too much. Like, for my writing assignments when I was like 6, 7, I used to write Thomas the Tank Engine stories with big pictures. And every time my teacher would be like, stop writing about Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, my feedback would be like, 7 out of 10, please stop writing about Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh,
I
my also, God, this would be so tedious as a teacher.
I know.
You're like, I don't care.
I don't want to read about these stupid trains. But I was into it for like way too long as well, because I got to like 8, 9, and I already had a massive collection of toys, and I just kept buying the Thomas toys with my pocket money because I became a collector. My mindset became like, I'll just collect them all.
Yeah.
And how cool will that be?
And
when
house
I'm an
all your little childhood anxiety into the little wagons of the trains.
Yeah, pump all this energy into the trains. Anyway, my favorite train was his name was Oliver, and he was
good name.
He's such
my
a good
best childhood friend was called Oliver.
Oh, it's a great name.
It's a great name.
He was a green train, but so he, Thomas discovered him on the scrap heap. He was just about to be scrapped.
Oh my God.
Saved his life.
Rags to ruins.
Yeah.
No.
Rags ruins. To the ruins.
Rags to, then to riches.
Rags to ruins to riches.
Let's get real. It's not just rags to riches. You've got to go to the ruins first.
Yeah, you're in the rags, then you go to the ruins, then you end up in the riches, and then you end up in the rags again.
In the rags again. You're like, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay, so Oliver.
And then they paint him green.
What color was he? Just rust.
Rust, yeah, yeah.
God, there's so much story in Thomas the Tank Engine. I honestly thought it was like, it's an early day at the factory. The Fat Controller is sending all the trains away. Off they go. They're back again. Nighttime. That's Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, that was the show. That's why I didn't really enjoy it that much.
They're so dense. Especially if you read the books, man. They're dense. Oh, there's God. Like all this information about.
It's like Game of Thrones. The original books are so much better. The plot, there's so many more characters, and they just like brush over some stuff.
I don't mean that, because
there's this big fan theory that like Thomas is actually going to like run the train station one day. Like, he's Dothraki. It's amazing.
Anyway, I really connected with Oliver.
Okay.
Because he, again, I think it was maybe the fact that he was like pushed out of society.
Oh,
and then he was
God.
Brought back in, given a new bright paint job. He was number 11. Great number, especially if you're watching the show Stranger Things.
Oh.
I think, I mean, I don't
and
know if some
John Olamo's number. 11.
Yeah.
Good number. A lot of people shaved 11 into their eyebrows and regretted it.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that.
Shave 11 into your eyebrows.
I think I had the hots for a few guys at my high school who did it. Like, everyone on the high school volleyball team did it. And I was like, damn.
Really? I think it's a bad look. My brother did it and he just took a chunk out of his eyebrow. And I remember my mum just losing her shit at it. He also put sunning in his hair, so it was a really bad time for him. He had that sort of red hair and like a, well, sort of patchy red hair, and then a big chunk out of his eyebrow.
Whoa.
He looked like someone who would beat me up at high school. but he didn't. He's awesome.
When I was in sixth form, because I get hairs in the middle of my eyebrows.
In the bridge.
In the bridge.
Yeah.
And that started happening when I was like 16. And the first time I tried to get rid of them, I like overdid it. And there's a whole series of photos of me when I'm 16 where one of my eyebrow, my right eyebrow is just like, like here, like I'm pointing to.
It's like creeping along.
Yeah, yeah. It's so bad. Like a tiny worm.
Just got out of bed a bit late. It's like, I'm coming. I'm just running late.
Also, as a side note,
I didn't have eyebrows as a kid. Oh. Pretty much. I've got quite blonde hair. But when I used to play tennis, my face would go very red. Yeah, I play tennis. My face would go red, like a very sporty, like a tomato. And just these like white lines would emerge where my eyebrows were. It was like those like invisible tattoos or whatever.
Like, we used to have a doll of Pocahontas that if you put her in the light, her dress would, there'd be like designs would come up on her dress.
Ooh, do you remember those stupid dogs that like, the toys that you would run like under hot water and then their eyes would change or their, and it'd be like stupidly like pink for a girl, blue for a boy. This has got to stop, eh? Enough is enough. Stop like coding our toys with pink and blue. It's so boring.
Hey, can I talk about something?
Yes.
When I was 11...
This is, of course, you can talk about something. This is the vehicle
this
for
is
it.
The podcast. If there's any time you're allowed to talk about something,
it's right now.
So when I was 11, this is connected to Thomas, connected to gender. Look, what I did was I did a science experiment where I made all the people in my class. I brought my Thomas trains to school.
Okay, and I got your teacher like, enough is enough. You are 14 now. I've read 10 years of stupid essays.
Fan fiction.
And now science? Get out!
So I was trying to do a psychology experiment. So I put all my trains out on the floor in our cloakroom. And I would get them to come in one at a time and arrange the trains in whatever order they wanted. And then I wrote down like
buzzy.
And then I wrote down like what colors they chose and like how long their trains were and stuff.
You sound so intense. As a kid.
My sister was studying psychology and I was like, I want to do some psychology.
I'll have a dabble.
Yeah. Anyway, the outcome of the science experiment was that neither gender meant anything about which trains they chose.
Wow. So, go you.
Yeah, that's what I discovered. And I should, I should tell more people about that.
That's huge. I think we should, you should do it again, but you should get some funding for this.
Yeah.
And then bring it back to your teacher and be like, look.
Also, I've written a story. Love you to read.
And it's award winning. Yeah. So you told me to give up on my dreams.
I never will.
And look at me now. I own a fucking train.
And I'm going to ride the train into the sunset of my future.
And then die there.
So, do you have any last characters that you want to talk about, Chris?
My very last one. This is a very specific New Zealand one. Mm. What Now? Great early morning, Sunday morning kids TV show. And then it always has like really friendly, relatable anchors of the show.
It does.
When I was watching it, I would say it was prime anchor time. We had Siobhan Ruakere, we had Anthony Samuels, we had Jason Farfoy, Fart Boy. Like, he used to always fart on the show.
Classic.
Oh, stink, he used to say. It was his catchphrase. It was genius. And
we got the end of Fiona's.
And the end of Fiona, who
and the start of Carolyn.
Loved.
Fiona, gay icon. Absolute. So gay icon.
100%. What is up with that?
I don't know why.
There was just a thing that we're like.
She's got kind of a punk chick vibe, which
she's
I think.
She's bossy. She's like Angelica's mum. She was fucking fierce on that
she's
show.
Awesome. And then she went to London and became a reporter, I think.
She was sassy as. I felt like she took no shit from kids on that show.
No.
What was up
she
with her?
She was not a good choice for a child's presenter, but obviously ultimately was a good choice.
We had it at the very end of her career. Oh, like, which is over.
She's
it
tired.
But yeah, we all instantly were like drawn to her.
Fiona,
I'm so glad you brought that
up. A bossy babysitter vibe.
Yes, 100%. So they did like a ongoing show called Serial Stuff where they played like Barbie doll kind of characters, like toys.
Yeah,
that kind of came to life. And so it was all like real size, but they were dressed as little dolls.
So when they're inside their house, they're played by the hosts of What Now. When they're outside their house, they're played by Barbie dolls held by hands.
Yes. And Anthony Samuels, who was straight on the show, like as an anchor and has like a family and kids and stuff. I don't think there's ever been an openly gay anchor, host.
There's been some closeted gay ones.
Yeah.
I know them.
Okay.
But I'll keep them to myself because that's their own choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Anthony Samuels, his character on Serial Stuff was called Outdoor Trev. He was the Ken doll of the of the universe and was so camp and gay. Like so gay. Obviously, loved him as a kid. I was like, this character is genius.
Yeah.
But Outdoor Trev? Like, what a name.
And he was in like a tight blue polo shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And Anthony was like fit in these days.
Ripped.
Yeah, this was like pre kind of like dad bod. Like, this was like, he's like peak and he's hot.
And he had that because he had plastic hair.
Which I was kind of into.
Yeah, because it was perfect.
It was perfect. And yeah, like kind of, and Anthony is, would you say he's Māori or someone or?
He is of Polynesian descent.
But like really like just so fit and beautiful. And like, I love that Ken wasn't this kind of like preppy white guy either.
Nah.
And I think that really like added to the sort of sexual appeal of the character as well, of Outdoor Trev.
We're talking about Anthony, Jason and Siobhan. Three brown hosts.
Yeah.
All amazing. And so Siobhan Rookery.
What Now is always leading the way with that.
Paving the way.
Yeah.
Siobhan.
Trailblazers.
Who has since become a soap opera actress and then has just recently moved to LA, and I hope she's doing well over there. Our American listeners, you might be seeing her soon on your screens. She played Sports Susie.
Yes.
Who again was an icon for me. Any girl character who put sports or sporty in her name was an icon for me.
Sporty Spice.
Sporty Spice. Even though I didn't play, like, I played soccer, but vaguely.
Yeah.
But I loved sporty girls. And I used to do an impression of Sports Susie.
Well, your track record of impersonations has been great so far.
This
so.
Episode, let's cap the impressions off with my impression of Sports Susie, which I also put in a play that I wrote for our class, and I played Sports Susie in a play.
I would have loved
I love Sports Susie so much. And her phrase was, "Hi everyone, it's me."
That was really good.
Thank you so much. I wanted to tell... We did a show with Siobhan. We did the Christmas show with her.
Oh, yeah, at the Basement
and
Theater.
And I was like, I have to tell her about when I played Sports Susie for a school play, but I didn't tell her.
Never meet your heroes.
No.
And never follow them on Snapchat.
Because here's the...
Messing. I should never have followed you.
The best reaction you're going to get is, oh, cool.
Yes.
That's it.
Because you would have heard it all the time, but you want to be like, it means so much to me. I basically based my whole career off you.
Yeah.
And all I ever wanted to be was on Serial stuff.
That's... Absolutely true for me.
Yeah, but they probably got paid $20 an hour.
I later did equivalent roles on for the Erin Simpson show.
So you did live your dream.
Well, very small roles, but I can tell you the pay was rubbish.
Isn't that
very exploitative?
Oh man. But it was such a good show. We should bring it back.
Yeah.
We should bring it back.
Netflix.
Netflix. Oh my god. Like, it's such a thing. Like, I mean, Gilmore Girls is back and all your favorite shows are back, and then oh my god, Serial stuff is back. But it's like kind of edgy now. And Outdoor Trev has since come out.
Yeah, well done.
Well done, Outdoor Trev.
Hey guys,
I want to know what happened in the outdoors.
Cruising. Guys, I think that just about brings us to the end of our episode. If you have anything you would love us to talk about on this podcast, please, you can tweet us at Eli Matthewson or at C Rob Kerr with a K. It's a Twitter tag that makes no sense, but he's sticking with it. Or you can email littleempirepodcasts@gmail.com. Thanks so much to Little Empire. And our lovely producer, Tim.
Thanks so much again to the people at bigpipe.co.nz.
Have a great night, everyone. I'm presuming you're listening to this in the morning.
Sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you're thirsty for another, why not try Boners of the Heart?
My farts sound like Alejandro at the start of Yam Will Be There.
So what does your fart sound like?
They're like Alejandro at the start of the song Yam Will Be There. They're like,
right now is the closest I've ever been to walking out of this podcast.
Actually.
Yeah.